welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage of Scripture found in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. And this is a warning. It's a warning to us as Christians, as believers, of things that, you know, a reminder to us. We'll put it that way. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So it starts out by giving us a warning. Hey, we have an enemy. Calls him the devil. This is not someone we can see with our eyes. This is powers, principality, influences that work against us in our lives in different ways. But we see that we're called here to do something. We're called to resist. And a lot of times when we think about something like this or this classic passage of the devil and you're being attacked, and we can kind of think in our minds, you know, right off the bat, like, okay, I resist you in Jesus' name, and that's what it means to resist. It can mean that. That can be a way that you resist the devil. We have authority in the name of Jesus, and there's times that we're called to declare that and declare that authority. But this morning, I want to talk about another way, a powerful way that you resist the devil. Because a lot of times when you're dealing with stuff, it's like, oh my goodness, I've got this attack. I got to figure out what to do. I got to, you know, there's so many things and pressures that we can put on ourselves even spiritually when we're dealing with life stuff. But there is a powerful way, a wonderful, beautiful way that God calls us when it comes to these inflection points, these interactions in our lives where we have attacks in different ways. And the scripture puts it this way. This is a Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." Here's the same passage in the Amplified. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him confidently trust." We can see that one of the ways that we deal with pressures, storms of life, different things like that, the psalmist beautifully brings out, he says, "I pull into that secret place, the Most High." There is protection there. There is safety there. There is shelter there. Sometimes we're going through attacks and different things. And what does the Bible say when it comes to Satan, the devil? It's confusion and every evil work. Intentional confusion. You don't know what's what, what's up, what's down. And if you're not careful, a lot of times you're going to put pressure on yourself to have to figure everything out and problem solve everything. And ultimately, the next move, the next great move that anyone can ever do when you're facing that roaring of the lion is to pull into that secret place of the Most High. There is protection there. There's stability there. There's a, basically, that's the title of what we're going at this morning. I'm simply calling it Shelter in the Secret Place. Stuff happens. Stuff is going on. But there is a safe place. There is a place of protection. And again, you know, we talked, did a series a few months back about, you know, getting victory over the flesh and the things that trip us up. And we said, really, the key is if you walk in the Spirit, if you get yourself preoccupied with the things of God, the scripture says, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's going to change your desires. It's going to change your focus. And all of a sudden, you're going to walk free from some things. there's a principle that's true here too when it comes to demonic attack. You know, you can't not fulfill the lust of the flesh by trying to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a losing battle. So Jesus died for our sins, and he gave us the law of the Spirit of life so we can get victory. Now, when we're dealing with attacks sometimes, we got to realize that God is calling us to a special secret place that's you and him, a place that there is protection. And I love, again, kind of how the psalmist put it, he who dwells will remain stable, fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, refuge, fortress. That bubble there in the picture is really, it's a picture of the presence of God. It's a picture of your private, safe place with the Lord that can protect you from the junk that's going on. You know, storms can be a very scary thing. I'm talking natural storms right now. It was just about 3-4 years ago, we were in Tulsa for Caleb's graduation, I believe, and we were just having a little breakfast, family breakfast, and all of a sudden we heard the sirens go off and the newscast came on, and we're right there in the restaurant, and they were saying that there was a funnel cloud, there was turbulence, there was motion, and they were showing us the radar screen and where it was, and we were looking at it, and it was exactly where we were, but it was above us. And it was like, oh, wow, what are we going to do here, you know? And you had the restaurant people, you know, because you had people who were across the street was the mall, and there was a shelter in the mall. But you already had it over your head. And what that meant is you had to get in your car, and you had to stop at stoplights and go down and then park and then get in the mall. And, you know, tornadoes don't stop for stoplights. They don't play by the rules. They're just going to do what they're going to do. And so it's that split-second decision. And in that moment, you know, we realized that we just couldn't, in the natural, beat this thing. We didn't have time, you know. And when tornadoes are moving, you just, it's split-second. And we ended up staying in the restaurant. We ended up praying. We ended up committing it to the Lord, and the Lord supernaturally protected us, and the tornado kept going. I don't know that it ever officially touched the ground or not, but it was hovering and stayed up and stayed over, and it dissipated and went away. But you sense that vulnerability. It's like, wow, I got, what can I do? And that's the way life can be sometimes. It's like, there's a tornado, there's a storm. What can I do? Where can I go? And in that moment, God wants us to know there's just a safe place to go. You know, probably the first experiences I ever had as a little kid with something like this, and we all have, I'm sure, it's when you have your first nightmare, and it's really scary, and it's so real. And I remember as a kid, when that would happen, you know what I would do? I'd go into my mom and dad's room and wake my mom up, and she'd move over a little bit, and she'd let me lay down next to her. Why? Because mom was a safe place. She was a shelter in my traumatic 3-year-old nightmare, whatever it was. I didn't know what was what, but I knew I had a place to go. I know I could crawl up next to mom and fall asleep next to her. And it's amazing. Every time that I would be there and she was there and I knew she was there, I could fall right to sleep. You know? All of a sudden, I wasn't having to solve things in my head about this thing that was going on. There was just the presence of my mom. I just knew that if I was by her, I was safe. The boogeyman wasn't going to get me as long as I was by mom, you know, and I was curled up, you know, next to her. There's a safety. There's a presence there. This is what the Lord wants us to know, too. Because there can be some things where life can seem like a nightmare, you know. You wake up the next day, and it's still there. And there's something that we got to realize. There's a place of safety we can go. One of the ways you resist the devil, and when we saw that, we were in Tulsa, we were in the Village Breakfast Inn pizza place, the thing that came through that television set was find your safe place immediately. The tornado is here. If you're in that area, find your safe place immediately. And we had to make a decision. But that's what this message is about this morning. As we're going through stuff, there's a safe place. You can find, no matter what is going on, I don't care what's going on in your life, there's a safe place. There's a place that you can go. There is always a path forward with God. With God, all things are possible. He's never checkmated. None of us could ever do that. He's got a path forward for you, and it's a safe place. And there's rest, recovery, there's restoration in that place. And so this morning, I just want to talk about that. Shelter in the secret place. First of all, there's a shelter in His presence. And we got in the presence of God this morning. We were looking full in His wonderful face. I love just declaring the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, there's just power in declaring the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that name that is above every name can just strengthen your spirit, bring clarity to your thinking. Just declaring that name of Jesus, getting into His presence. As we get into the presence of God, though, I want to just take a look at some things that we see from the Word of God about getting to that shelter, finding your safe place. Jesus put it this way. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand praying in the synagogues, on the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Surely I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The message, a little more blunt. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. You ever realize that when you really need, you know you need to get in the presence of God, and you're trying to feel inspired to get into the presence of God? You sometimes even feel like you feel obligated to feel inspired to get into the presence of God, for it to be real and to be sincere. You don't. Faith is not feeling inspired and going into the presence of God. That's faith. Faith is going there not because you're feeling it or putting an expectation on yourself to have to feel inspired to go there. You go there because you believe that He is, whether you feel Him or not. Faith is believing He is. It has no prerequisite of my feelings. And I'm by faith, I'm going there. God, I need You. And I just love how He says that. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can imagine. The focus will shift from you to God. In other words, you know that He knows. And you just begin to speak from your heart. Best you can manage stuff. And it's amazing having the Holy Spirit in you. Just how you begin to sense the presence of God start to lead you and guide you. But we can see here that God doesn't want a theatrical thing. He loves that private devotional where nobody can see and where it's you and Him. The bubble is there. And in that place where it's just you and Him, He's going to do some things. He's going to begin to speak. He's going to begin to speak some things into your heart that is between you and Him. You know, you can get into this place with Him that is so one-on-one where you have your own sense of humor with God. There will be things that you know you and God laugh at, situations, circumstances, things that maybe happen, and you go, wow. And you know that God is with you. You know He understands you. You know that He gets you. There are things that in this place, it's the secret place, it's a place of privacy. If there's nobody there, there's nobody you have to worry about hearing about what you're going to say next. That's the kind of place that He wants you to know that you have with Him. In other words, you don't have to, I like what He said, don't be tempted to role play. What does it look like when we're tempted to role play? I want to pray something, and it's really in my heart, but I'm afraid I might, you know, miss dotting an I or crossing a T when I say it. That's what He's saying. Don't worry about that. Just begin, as crude as it might be. Just begin to talk from your heart and just get what's in your heart out. That's what He's saying in this place. There's just something about getting what's in your heart out that can relieve pressure. I'll usually find this around Christmas time when you're trying to do a bunch of things and life is speeding up. Okay, get out a list and just write it and get it on paper. Something about just even getting it from your head to paper sometimes and go, Good. I'm not having to try to remember all that stuff. It's there in writing. This little incubation space of having the secret place with the Lord can be like that, where you're, what the scripture would call, casting your cares. God, this hurts. I don't know what to do next. Father, show me. Is there something that I need to know from this? Show me what I need to know. Lord, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem fair. What is that? Show me, Lord. This is where the things that are in your heart, you're getting them out. You're not going into this place trying to problem solve the storm. You're just going into this place getting what's in your heart out. You're casting your cares on him. You're letting your requests be made known unto him. This is where he is taking that weight of the cares from our heart. And again, it's a place where I want to be a little careful with this too, because when we say the secret place, there's a natural side to this and there's a spiritual side to this. This place, he says, go into your room. Your room could be a room. Your room could be a prayer closet. Your room could be that chair or that couch. Your room could be driving around in your car. Whatever it takes for you to get alone, where there's truly nobody else that you're worried about or thinking about, where you can get alone with God. That's the place. It's a good, Satan wants to isolate us in a way that he's going to accuse and attack and bring fear. This is an isolation with the presence of Almighty God in a way that is going to build you up and minister peace and grace and comfort. Isolating you, what's this isolation from? It's isolating you from that into this sweet place. God is isolating you from the junk so you can get in that place of restoration. You don't have to problem solve that meteor about to hit the house. You can just get in the secret place. Or the tornado that just is pending doom. I'm not problem solving. I'm isolating with God. I'm coming into the secret place and shutting my door and beginning to pour my heart out to God. I'm giving him something to respond to. That's the way he is. You notice Satan comes as a roaring lion. He'll come and interrupt you in the middle of your day. God invites you to draw near to him. He invites you to come into that prayer closet so he can meet you there, so he can talk to you. Very completely different ways that God will speak and minister to your heart. So you see that this is this beautiful picture where Jesus is inviting us to come to that place, that beautiful secret place. And this is the work of the Lord in that secret place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that such a beautiful irony? He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead me beside still waters, and he's going to restore my soul. It's kind of another thing I like about that picture. You see the little green. See that? It's green grass. It's a little bit of it's just a really good contrast. You got the storms going on, and you're lying down in green pastures. You're lying down in a safe place. And God's doing something here again. Not again problem solving the storm. He's getting me to lie down. He's getting me to a place where he can restore my soul. He's getting me to a place where maybe the only thing you know in this thing is one thing: God loves me. That's all I know. That's my starting point. Yeah, there's storms. Yeah, there's things going on. But that storm can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That love is still there. And that's where it's a beautiful thing, where we can pull in to his love and, okay, Lord, here we go. What do you want me to do next? You know, guide me by your Spirit. Show me. Show me things to come. And many times when you're here, as he's leading and guiding you into those paths of righteousness, because this is kind of what happens. You get your soul restored, and you're in that place, and he leads me into paths of righteousness. When you get in that sweet spot and you begin to talk with the Lord, he might just show you one thing to do next. That's all you need to know. What do you want me to do next? It might be to pray for somebody. It might be to read a passage of scripture. It might be to do something. But in that sweet place, as he's settling you down, reminding you that he loves you, there will be something that he'll begin to lead you. He'll begin to guide you. That's what a good shepherd does. He's going to guide you and lead you and show you something. You may not always know the significance of that thing. I mean, I got a storm going on out here, and you're just wanting me to stay in the 23rd Psalm? It seems like I got to get stuff done here. But yet, you don't always understand the big, you don't always see the big picture of how things are going to affect. And again, just a memory of my mom. She passed about 10 years ago. But man, moms leave legacies and impressions. And moms, natural moms, spiritual moms, you need to know that God is using you in ways that are going to outlive you. That's all I'll say. My mom was sitting there at the kitchen table. She had a pile of these Christmas cards. And I'm looking at this pile of cards, and I'm just looking at names and going, Mom, I don't even know half these people. Who are they? Do you really have to send Christmas cards to all these people? And I just pulled one out of the pile, and it was some gal, and I said, who is this? Why do we really need to send her a card? And she said, oh, that was the girlfriend who invited me to go roller skating the night I met your dad. Said, yeah, send her a card, Mom. That's a good one. It may not always make sense to you why you're doing the next thing, okay? But there's connections, there's continuity, there's tapestry, there's beauty. You're just doing the next thing he's showing you to do, and you're trusting him. That's all I want. I'm not trying to problem solve the storm. My answer is just, what's the next thing I can do? I know the first thing is to just get in your presence. And sometimes that's our answer is, I don't know, I'm just going to get saturated in the presence of God until you show me the next thing to do. Whether it totally makes sense to my head or not, I know it's connected in a way that's powerful, that's important, that's impactful. And so that's my next step. You're a good shepherd. You know, you're gonna restore my soul, and I don't fear anything because of one reason. You're with me. Because of where I am. Those green pastures, those still waters. And another beautiful psalm, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. He might have you singing in that place. Again, meteor's coming, tornado is hearing, and he might have you singing. You might feel prompted to just begin to worship God in the middle of that chaos. It's like, man. And then you got to stop and think, is it scriptural to count it all joy when I fall into various trials? You go, yeah, it is. It's scriptural to begin to worship God and to begin to sing. And a lot of times that can be a beautiful thing, because when you're dealing with your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, we're in these bodies that are, they're subject to temptation. The enemy roars, and we can hear it for a reason. We're in these bodies. There's a natural access that we got to deal with. That's why he's called our enemy. But I'm telling you what, there is power in worship. There is power in songs and hymns and spiritual songs that'll cause you to get filled with the Spirit of God, to where, like we were just worshiping this morning, I sense that psalm. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus, you're beautiful. Looking unto Jesus. And that's really the heart cry. It's Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but you're Lord, so I'm looking to you. Lord, I'm not going to let this storm be the center of my life. You are going to be the center. That was the first song we sang, Jesus, be the center. It's where you're recentering up on Jesus. That's really the safe place. There is shelter in the secret place. I'm not going to try to protect myself. There's a great Old Testament verse that goes, the battle's the Lord's. I'm going to hold my peace and let the Lord fight for me. That means I'm not fighting for me. I'm letting the Lord fight for me. And when you're coming into that place, you're trusting Him. You're looking to Him. You're not the one doing the talking. You're going to let Him do your talking for you. That's His heart. That's where I'm putting my trust in Him. You are my hiding place. You're preserving me from trouble. I'm looking to You, Lord. Praise God. And so there is this trust, this looking to Him. Finally, along these lines, Matthew 11 says, "Come unto me, all you who weary and are carrying heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble, gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light." In other words, you don't have to be afraid of that next step. You don't have to be afraid of what it is He's going to tell you to do. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Whatever He gives you to do is the next step. And again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying, listen to what the Lord is showing you to do next. You know what the next thing might be to do is just keep hanging out here for a while. Just keep hanging out here for a while. And let's do this again tomorrow. That might be the next thing. You know, but you're listening for the peace of God. You're letting Him begin to guide you, but you can know something. Green pastures, still waters, gentle, humble at heart. You can see that good shepherd continuity. It's a safe place. It's a peaceful place. When He speaks to you something, He's going to speak it from a place of gentle, humble and gentle at heart. Rest for your souls. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, there was one in James 1, it says, you know, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely, and it will be given to you. And He won't, it says, He won't berate you. He won't insult you. He won't humiliate you for needing wisdom. Don't you know that by now? There's none of that with God. There's a sweet, pure heart. I'm coming before Him. And if He shows me something I've known for 30 years, He'll say it in a very kind, sweet way that I can get it. Because you want to know something? Many times when you're coming to get things from God, many times, they're going to be things that you all already know, but you're going to hear Him say it. Have you ever had that? Or maybe somebody, you can almost, it feels a little bit of a nagging, you need to, and say, yeah. And then all of a sudden you get in the presence of God, and the Spirit of God says, you need to. It says the exact same thing. You go, yeah, I need to do that. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Well, that's really the way it's supposed to be. That's why He wants to let you know that, man, that's me. That's my heart. I love you. But you can see that. And that's why it's important to have that sweet, intimate time. So it's not just theology or what I believe about God. It's that personal, vital interaction. Because then when it's from that place, you know, we have a heart to receive it. Shelter in His word. And this is the other aspect I want to look at that we can go. This is another beautiful way that we can find stability and peace. The psalmist says, "You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Your word. Uphold me according to Your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe Your statutes continually." There's a hoping just in the word of God. And again, no pressure on us to have to read a bunch of Bible verses or chapters or anything. It's just getting to where our eyes are off that storm and back onto the word. This is a Mercy Me song. It's probably about 20 years old, but it's one of those songs that spoke to my heart that I just have come back to when I hit some of these inflection points. And it goes like this: "I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what You would say. Word of God, speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty. Be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of You, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with You and to hear the quiet of Your voice. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay." Sometimes you get in that secret place and you just don't know what to, you're empty. You're numb. And there are times when it's just like, I just need to hear the word of God. I need to see those words. And when we're talking about getting in the word, there's different ways to get in the word. Yes, you can sit down with your Bible and read the word. You can listen to the word, audio of the word, things that are going to cause your heart and your mind to fix your gaze on those words. Because when you can't think straight up here, you let the Word of God minister to you. I remember the Lord correcting me years ago, because you're in that place of numbness. It's like, I need to be spiritual. I need to be on fire for God. I need to be in that place. I need to be. And the Lord just said, Ed, stop trying to be spiritual and go where spiritual is. There is an anointing on the Word of God. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me say this. One of the great things that you can do is go to Psalm 23. That can be just a good starting point. Sometimes you almost need like a, you know how it is when you got fire drills. You got tornado drills. And the bells are going off and you're thinking, what am I going to do? What do we do at school? We have fire drills. We have tornado drills. Because when the storms hit, you're not thinking very clear. And so what you can do when you're looking to the Word is before sometimes you even go through stuff, have a few favorite scriptures. Have a few scriptures that can help you. In other words, if you're having a hard time falling asleep sometimes because of storms, get that good Psalm 23. I can't tell you how many times it's like I'm having a hard time falling asleep, and then I go, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, what does that make me do? It causes all my attention from going here to that meteor is about to hit. No, there's a tornado. All my attention now goes to the Word. The Lord is my shepherd. Regardless of what's happening out there, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. His will for me is still waters. He desires to restore my soul. I'm letting the Word do the heavy lifting. I'm not having to think. I'm just simply declaring the Word of the Lord. It is alive. It is powerful. I'm not trying to be spiritual. The Word is spiritual. I'm just putting my attention on the Word of God. And I can't tell you how many times I would speak that 23rd Psalm to myself. And it's like I couldn't. I wake up the next day and I wonder, how many times did I say that before I fell asleep? Because I just drifted off somewhere. Because my focus in my heart was on the Word of God, letting the Word of God minister to you in that way. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Again, this is a beautiful picture of the Lord and protecting us. I love that word, you know, that he is going to be a strong tower. Of course, in Door County, we think of Peninsula Park. We think of that tower. And what is so significant about a tower? When you go up in a tower, you can see things that you can't on the ground. You get a big picture. You get the lay of the land in that way. The Lord, he's a strong tower. In other words, as you're going up by faith, as you're pulling into him, you're unconsciously taking steps up to where you begin to get restored in your soul. When your soul is restored, you can see things that an unrestored soul can't see. You get vision. You get perspective. You know better how to even pray about your situation than you did before. But first things first, he's going to restore. He's going to lead us to the rock that is higher than I. He's going to give us that steady word. That word that is going to keep us steady during the storm. Here, finally, we're going to close with this. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on the house, did not fall, for the house was founded on the rock. The message said, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured, came down, river flooded, tornado hit it, nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. In other words, incorporating that word. So when those storms come and those rains come, it's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. Again, you can just get a couple scriptures. They're like fire drill scriptures. What do you do when it happens? I've got some scriptures. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to feel inspired. But I've got some go-to scriptures that have been my my scriptures, the ones I love, the ones that I just cling to, and they can keep you steady during those times when your emotions are getting played, different things like that. God has a wisdom. He knows how to speak a word to even keep you steady. Again, I got to close and tell off on my mom one more time here, but the wisdom of a mom, the things that she'll say to you that you might go, oh, yeah, and then later you go, oh, yeah, wow, mom was right about some things. My brother, when he was about 7, 8 years old, we found out he had diabetes, and that ran in my dad's side of the family, but it was juvenile diabetes, and I didn't really know much about it. I mean, we were just like a year apart, and I think, oh, yeah, and to me, it just translated, oh, bummer, Will can't have candy. That's all diabetes meant to me. You know, I didn't really know that was kind of the situation, and I remember my mom did something. She, when we found out about it and they were figuring all the insulin and all the medical stuff, and it was, it's their little boy and they're trying to figure it out, she took time and she took me. And she deliberately said, Eddie, get in the car. I'm going to take you somewhere. I said, okay. I guess he's about 7, 8. I'm probably 8, 9. And she took us, we lived in Eau Claire. She took us to a beloved place that used to be in Eau Claire called Donut Land. And it was very wisely constructed because all the walls on it were, in the front, were pure glass. So when you even drove by Donut Land, you could see all the donuts on the rack. It's like, oh, it's just like just a little bit of glory as you're driving by and you're looking back, wow, there's the cream-filled rolls and all that stuff. And it was always a big treat and a big deal to ever be able to go to Donut Land. And so my mom, it was just me and my mom. She just drove us to Donut Land. And we're sitting out in the car. I'm thinking, we're at Donut Land, Mom. She goes, yeah, and it's just me. And it's just me and her. Usually it's more of a family thing. And she said, yep, Ed, I want you to understand something. Your brother, Willie, has diabetes. And what that means is, we can't have Oreos and ice cream. We can't have that stuff in our house anymore. We need to create an environment that's not going to be tempting for him. And so you need to understand that our life is about to change. And you're not going to see the candy bars and all the sweets and all that kind of stuff. She said, so this is what I'm going to do. We're going to go into Donut Land and you can have whatever you want. You can order all you want. I said, wow, really? She said, yeah. She said, and when you're at home and you realize that you can't have the cookies and you can't have the candy and you can't have those things that you would typically want, I want you to remember this day because I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I care. I know it's not going to be easy road for you. But I want you to remember this day and let it remind you that I get it. I understand. And it's going to be okay. I thought, okay. I was just excited to eat those donuts and cream-filled rolls. I was thinking kind of what I was going to order while she was talking. And I had, more donuts at that age and rolls that I had. And she was just, she was totally fine with it. And I remember later, as we were just going on and mom's shopping and it's all granola and maybe yogurt or it might be just healthy stuff. Really the way we should all be eating anyway. But anyway, it was just good, healthy stuff. And I remember just thinking, oh, the donuts. And I would remember Donut Land. And I would remember mom gets me. Mom understands. She understands. But that word, because, yeah, I would feel no fair, this isn't right, but she gave me a word early on that kept me steady, that kept me from feeling like a victim and poor me and all that stuff. It was something that let mom know that I get it, Ed. I get it, I understand. I could obviously I'd go with my friends to 7-Eleven and get a big gulp I could still do stuff on the side. It wasn't like, it was just in the house. We had to protect that environment. And it was like, man, That word, when I would be going through, I never grew up feeling like, oh, poor me. I wish we could, you know, or why don't we just know? I got it. It was an illustration. It was a word. It was something that kept me steady and kept my heart in the right place. When the storms come and when it's blowing all over, the last thing you might feel emotionally is, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You might not feel those scriptures, but those are the scriptures that will keep you steady, that will ground you emotionally, that will cause you to lie down again in those green pastures and look out again at the still waters of his wisdom and his peace and his grace and cause you again to get your soul restored. I know it's the same word, but that word has the same power, and that word can make you lie down again and again. It's not about the word up here or knowing it. There is power in the word of God to keep us steady in those storms, to keep us safe, to keep us secure. So shelter in the secret place. There's a shelter in his presence that we're going to come in, and we're just, I'm just here, Lord. I'm just here. I'm just here to begin to talk. I'm just here to begin to start. I'm just here to begin to let the presence and the grace shift to you, to where I can just begin to speak from my heart what I know and know that it's a safe place. There's no condemnation here. I don't have to pray it just right. It's a beautiful, sweet one-on-one with the Lord where he's going to be there for you in the shelter of his word. Sometimes you don't know where to start. Sometimes the starting point is just those good scriptures. And from that place of making you lie down in the green pastures, he'll begin to speak to you, speak to your heart, give you some things. But don't feel like the pressure's on you to have to figure out where to start. You don't. You don't have to solve anything. He just invites you to come into his presence. And I remember that from one of our dear teachers in Bible school. She was kind of a newer teacher, and she was kind of getting started. And she was sharing about how this student came to her, and she had all these problems and all these issues. You know, some things and experiences of abuse that she'd never even knew existed. And she's just giving it to her, and she's listening. She's like wanting to, you know, throw in the towel with her. She's like, wow, I've never even heard this. It's just, and all of a sudden, as she's listening, the Holy Spirit just spoke to her. He said, just get her to the throne, and I'll take it from there. Get her to the throne of grace, and I'll take it from there. And sometimes that's what it is. We just need to get to the throne. We just need to go there and know that he's got something. I don't need to know what that is. Just go there. He'll take it from there. And that's good for ministry, too. You might be dealing with people. Get them to that place where they love God, where they know he's a safe place. His Spirit can take it from there. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you again for this beautiful Mother's Day. We thank you for just the ministry of your Spirit today and just the different ways, Lord, that you remind us of that precious paternal care that you have for us. Oh, Lord, help us to see you're the safe place. We can always come to you in the middle of any nightmare. We can always come to you and lay right down there in those green pastures in your presence. Look out across those still waters and know that you're going to help us to sleep, to be calm, to know that you're there for us, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love you have for us. Oh, Jesus, we do love you. You are the center. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you are my safe place. You really love me. There is nothing I can do that can separate me from your love. There is nothing anyone else can do that can separate me from your love. You really are for me. You really are with me. Help me to get in your presence, to be there as honestly as I can. And let that grace shift from me to you, that I may sense your presence. Thank you for being that safe place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Lord, we just pray a blessing too on every mom here today. We just thank you for how you've used them to be your heart, to be that compassion. We thank you for how you've used them to be that safe place, Lord. We pray a special blessing on each of them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.